Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and this is a message for the King's Church family and friends. It's an important update, and it begins by saying that I received notification last night that affects us at King's Church quite dramatically. Here it is. The owners of the beautiful facility we gather in, they have a national headquarters, and what they've done is they've mandated that no gatherings are permitted in any of their buildings throughout the United States for the next 3 weeks, effective immediately. And, of course, that means that it takes the decision out of our hands as to what we're doing regarding whether we meet or not. The decision is made for us. We really have no choice but to suspend all King's Church meetings. That's Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Lord's Day, for the next 3 weeks. I wanted to give an update about this, and I wanted to assure you that I'll be staying at my post. I'll be working hard, preparing, teaching the normal sermons, and this is not a time for us to retreat into complete isolation, but to really communicate much more than we usually do in internet forums and through email and just to be the loving family we are. Here's what I've come to understand over the last couple of weeks. It just seems yesterday all our troubles seem so far away, but the last couple of weeks have just been an amazing turnaround and the whole world seems to be in panic. And I want to say, when it comes to decision making, I'm not an infectious disease specialist, and I'm convinced of that, nor can I be brought up to speed to be one in a couple of weeks. I'm a pastor, I'm a Bible teacher, and my job is very, very simple. It's to pastor, it's to be a shepherd to those under my care through this unprecedented pandemic. I've never known anything like it. I don't think my parents ever did, their parents before them. And we have to work out from our walk with the Lord in the scriptures what would be a righteous response to the coronavirus as churches, as ministers. And I want to just say this. I've noticed that there's a lot of vitriol, a lot of words spoken with harshness from both sides of the aisle regarding whether a church should meet or not meet. And I want to address this. Someone actually wrote this of their pastor, and it was passed on to me by a church member yesterday as an encouragement. And it was these words: "Your pastor has never pastored a church through a pandemic before. When he opens," and what he's referring to there is opens the church for meetings. "When he opens, people are going to say he should have closed. When he closes, people are going to say he should have opened. When he shakes hands, people are going to say he has faith. When he shakes hands, people are going to say he's foolish. He's going to make some difficult decisions to protect the flock, considering everything from your spiritual growth to legal liabilities that you are not even aware of. We have an amazing pastor, an amazing group of people, and I'm sure you do as well. Remember this, no one wants things to go well at church as much as your pastor. Your pastor needs your prayers and support right now. And although you can't touch him, give him an air high five." I like that. That was sent to me, and it's an encouragement to me. We met this last Lord's Day, and we talked about the need to use wisdom. We talked about George Washington, who apparently didn't give handshakes, but instituted something called the George Washington bow. And I think that's something we took to heart very quickly in the service, in the meet and greet time. It's patriotic. Didn't know that till this last week. And it's a way of loving our neighbor. And just addressing the fact that there are people on both sides of the aisle, there was something I received this morning from a friend of mine, Pastor Joel Ellis, at Reformation OPC Church in Apache Junction. here in Arizona. And I want to read this. It's a letter he wrote to his church, and I thought, this is brilliant. Brilliant man, this is a brilliant thing, and I just want to submit it to you in this update. Here are his words. It's a little bit lengthy, but stay with me. I promise I will not bombard you with emails for the duration of the present distress, but after a long and unrestful night, I wanted to share some additional thoughts and encouragement with all of you that I hope will help us in thinking biblically about our current situation. When the elders met last evening and decided to suspend all corporate in-person gatherings of our church, including worship on the Lord's Day for the next 2 weeks, that's different to us, of course. We've been mandated it's 3 weeks. We did so with heavy hearts. Several of us voiced our intent coming into the meeting to cancel everything except the morning worship on the Lord's Day. But after praying for wisdom, reviewing the data, and discussing our options, we all came to consensus that a 2-week voluntary quarantine was wise and appropriate. We knew this decision would disappoint many, frustrate others, and be met with scorn by some of our brethren, especially outside our congregation. This was unavoidable. Such responses can never be a major factor in decision making, if they are ever an appropriate factor at all. If we had decided to continue holding public worship services, as we did on the last two Lord's Days, despite encouragement from many sectors to cancel, that decision too would have been met with disappointment, frustration, and scorn. Advocates of big government and opponents of religious and personal liberty will always use crisis to expand their agenda and influence, and I have no doubt it'll be so in this case. Western society may, and likely will, be permanently affected by the measures taken to address the coronavirus for good or ill. But the recommendations of government leaders and public health agencies at this time are neither an explicit nor implicit attack upon religious liberty or our spiritual obligations. If the government were forbidding churches to ever assemble with more than 10 persons present, the visible church would have an obligation to defy and disobey that order. But this is not the case. We should be concerned to maintain and uphold our biblical duties and civil liberties, but we should not fight the wrong battle or choose the wrong hill to die upon. Remember Peter's eagerness to fight and die in the garden, but his lack of preparedness and failure of faith and courage when tested in the courtyard. Zeal without knowledge is neither commendable nor useful. Our church is sinning who decide not to meet for worship on the Lord's Day during this crisis. They certainly could be, if the decision is made because men desire to take a break from church and religious obligation, then it is certainly contemptible and an offense against God. But is this likely the reason most churches are suspending their assemblies? If the decision is made from irrational fear due to the dangers of illness or potential death, this also is a motive unworthy of Christ and the people of God. If the decision is based on the fear of man, and a readiness to submit every activity of the church to civil authorities or popular opinion and pressure, then this too is an unfaithful and wicked position to adopt. But not every concern about public health and safety is irrational. Not every decision to submit to the recommendations of civil authorities about public assemblies is an unbiblical capitulation. And not every choice to remain home rather than gathering with the saints for worship on the Lord's Day is sin. We all recognize, or should, that the saints have an obligation to gather with the church for corporate worship on the Lord's Day. But we also recognize that sometimes neglect of this obligation is not only not sinful, but prudential. Would we gather with the saints for worship if we were seriously ill? No, most of us decide that if we are sick and likely to infect others, we should stay at home. Most of us have missed corporate worship to care for a sick child or to minister to those who are in crisis, whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. So, what do we do when the entire community is sick and in crisis? That is the situation we find ourselves in. This is not a permanent situation, and if it were, at some point, we would simply have to go on and gather for worship knowing that doing so brings a much greater risk for some of us. But is there not a place for wisdom and care in the midst of crisis, to attempt to safeguard the vulnerable and love our neighbors by helping to contain and cut down on public exposure and further infection? Yes, and we should not sit in judgment of those seeking to act with discretion and in faith in these times. Many churches have chosen to suspend corporate gatherings for a time. Some have no choice because they are in countries or communities which have ordered lockdowns of the population. Others have voluntarily done so in submission to the recommendations of civil authorities and in respect for public health. Some may have taken this course for sinful reasons. They may be driven by irrational fear, be surrendering spiritual authority to civil agencies, or be acting from concern for public opinion rather than biblical wisdom. But you and I cannot know that, at least not conclusively in most cases. We do not know any man's heart, and we are not to judge the motives that remain hidden there. Some churches will continue to meet, and whether wise or not, this remains their right to do. Could that decision be sinful? Certainly, if made for proud, self-righteous, and contentious reasons. The person who is determined to display his piety by attending worship, while highly contagious, is not only an arrogant man, but a fool. But not every decision to maintain public worship assemblies can be so judged, and some of those quick to do so are just as guilty of sinful condemnation as those who are judging the ones who have decided to stay home. Let each be convinced in his own mind and not judge his brother. These are certainly interesting times, days I never imagined or desired to see. But this is not the end of the story. Do not fear. Be strong and courageous. The God of Jacob will defend, uphold, and sustain his people. Pastor Joel Ellis. I wholeheartedly agree. I believe that is a biblical response to the current crisis from a pastor who loves his people as well as loves the Lord and wants to obey him. Let me close this brief update with a scripture you know all too well. And it's taken from Matthew chapter 7. It's the words of Jesus himself. Found in verse 24, we read these words. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of God. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let me just say this in closing. This could be our finest hour as Christians. We are to do what we know to do. As we look at that particular passage just read, both those who, or the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand, heard the same teaching. But one put it into practice. That was the man who built his house on the rock, and one didn't. It's interesting that both had the same storm, it would seem. As Christians, we do not avoid storms. The book of James tells us, don't be surprised at the various fiery trials that you have to endure. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. But there's things we can do, and there's things we're called to do. And I would just encourage you to continue to live the Christian life. What you've put in your heart is for just such a time. As I say, this could be our finest hour. Do what you know to do. Don't overfeed on news. The Bible says, Isaiah 26 verse 3, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So don't overfeed. Be aware. Be aware of the situation nationally, internationally. Keep these things in prayer. But don't overfeed, spending 2, 3, 4 hours just feeding yourself on the news. It will not allow you to be in perfect peace. Your mind will be elsewhere other than on the God who has looked up to you, looked out for you up till this moment and will do so in the future. I would just encourage you, stay connected. I'll be doing all I can to bring sermons and put them online so that we can continue to feed on the Word of God together. But reach out. This is our time to be the family of God we're called to be. Don't stop feeding. Don't stop praying. Don't stop in your giving. Don't stop reaching out to others. There are churches that may not survive through this, just as there are businesses that may not survive through this. But let's do our part in helping those who are in need, as well as looking to God for our own resources as well. But this is not the time to panic. We are able to endure this storm because Jesus will see us through. Our responsibility is to do what we know to do. What we've seen in the Word of God, this is the time to put it into practice. My brother, my sister, let's do what we know to do. I'll end this by simply praying for you that you would know the peace of God. The Bible says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. He really does. I care for you, and this update is made to announce the announcement that we're suspending our meetings for 3 weeks. But look to the Lord. We'll be connected as much as we can online, and we'll be what we're called to be, the family of God. The scripture is so clear. Let's put it into practice. And let me pray for you as I end this. Lord, I thank you for everyone listening. I pray your blessing on them. May they know the peace of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord himself, may he make his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. May he shepherd each heart through this storm so that we come through on the other side victorious because we've got an all-conquering Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be thrilled with the gospel and be prepared to share it. And let us walk through these times knowing our God is with us. The book of Daniel says, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. May we know you, Lord. May we walk with you. And may we be able to look back at this time saying, I was scared, but I trusted God anyway. Lord, our fear may not be about the actual pandemic, but the results of it, how it can hurt the nation and individuals and businesses and churches on a financial level, how panic can be in the streets so much of the time when our hearts are filled and the nation's hearts are filled with panic. Lord, would you bring peace, but would you also bring repentance to our nation that we might come under your rule once again and be one nation under God. Lord, I love this country. I love the people of this country. I love those you've given me to pastor. And may we walk through these storms together, or this particular storm, knowing that you hold our hand. And our ability to hold on to you is not the issue because you are holding on to us. And a weak faith still gets hold of the strong Savior. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Amen.